It is our very own Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, what's up, buddy?
Hello, boys. Yeah, those uncrustable numbers are very, very disappointing for a 3-win football team. Explains a lot.
And here's the thing. Like, I get, we got to knock off a couple hundred because David Njoku has 2% body fat. Miles Garrett is a Greek freak himself.
DeJuan's on a diet now, so maybe that doesn't fit in.
Oh, I guarantee you that might be the only snack he can have on this. Mm. I bet you DeJuan, listen, here's the thing. If I did not care, I could put 4 or 5 of those suckers away in a short order. I bet you DeJuan could have a full one of those 15 packs I'm talking about in like a sitting. Even now, even at his healthiest, I guarantee you DeJuan, he could just eat a whole mess of them. Daryl, how many could you eat?
I could probably do 3 in one sitting. Maybe 4.
And Daryl's skinny-ish.
Ish. What's the ish about?
Well, no.
Well, getting a little thicker around the midsection. The ish is warranted.
See, are you now? Are you skinny fat all of a sudden?
Yeah, I'm getting there, yeah.
Here's the thing.
I'm not proud of it, Jonathan.
I think he's off his freaking rocker. He still looks 12 pounds to me. But I knew if I called him skinny, he'd be like, put on 3 pounds.
By the way, Daryl, thank you for last week when you were in with Ken and Anthony for saying that I was one of the fit members of 92.3 The Fan. I didn't believe it when you said it. I was in the car with my wife. And Elise was like,
she also didn't believe it.
And she's like, see, Daryl says nice things about your body. And I'm like, oh, come on.
Well, I also hadn't seen you in a while. So, you know.
Anything else nice you'd like to say about his body, Daryl?
She just retracted all of it.
No, probably not. No.
Yeah. No, she didn't mind you objectifying me in any sort of way. She was encouraging it. She's like, you do have a nice body. I said, that's why I married you.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's her job to objectify you, not mine. I was just pulling for you in the combine.
What
do you think I would do the combine? What thing best would I do in the combine, Daryl?
Eating Uncrustables.
I was going to say, yeah, probably curling the Uncrustables.
We took that compliment back now. Okay.
That's just not your event. Like if there was like a good walking one of those, where it's just like,
how long can you walk for?
Yeah. Man, you'd outwalk all those bastards.
They'd get
you on the cardio. But you'd beat him on just steps?
It's not your event. It's just the steps drill? The whole event? It's just not your event.
Steps.
The whole everything? He's not wrong. I can't combat it. What I need to do is do like fake AI, like the Luka Doncic men's health article that said he has a 42-inch vertical, but the writer just took it from AI. Because there's two things that were wrong with that, Daryl. Obviously, anyone that's watched Doncic play basketball, he's got no lift at all. He's got like a 25-inch vertical. Same. And the second being that Luka Doncic never even went to the NBA combine.
I have no vertical either, so I'm right there with Luka.
No vert, Daryl Ryder on the fan hotline here. All right, latest on the quarterback kerfuffle. What'd you see today?
Well, I'm going to give Shedeur Sanders credit for taking first-team reps because he went against the first-team defense for a series. So I think that those should count, even though he wasn't with the first-team supporting cast. I think that that's a little bit of a positive sign for him. And look, frankly, I think we're at a point where we should see a little more of that. Dylan Gabriel shows some flashes, but he's a 7-on-7 quarterback. I feel like with the reps that they're giving him with the first team offense, they're preparing him to play this year. I don't know that that's a great idea having him play this year because I just don't think he's a legit NFL starter caliber quarterback. But that's obviously what they're going to do and what they want to do. Jimmy Haslam kind of made it pretty apparent yesterday that he wants to see that this year. So, the quarterback play has been spotty at best during this training camp, and it continues to be that way. And so my expectation for the ability for this offense to function at a level that can be competitive week in and week out, I have to confess it's not real high right now.
Can you expand on, and I don't disagree, but why, with what you've seen over 7 practices, makes you believe that Dylan Gabriel is a 7-on-7 quarterback, as you put it?
Because that's where he looks his best. That's why. You put an offensive line and a defensive line in front of him, and he doesn't look nearly as good. That's why. Now, he's made a couple of throws down the field that I'm like, he just didn't even see that. There's no way he actually saw that. And he's able to, you know, been able to complete the pass. And for me, that's just no way to live life in the National Football League. Because, yeah, you do that in practice. Good luck trying to do that in a game. They're taking you to the house the other way. So, he's looked great in those 7-on-7 sessions, but it's a little different when you put some bodies in front of him.
Daryl, you tweeted out today, you know, Dylan Gabriel first up in 11-on-11, and this is, you followed up on something you told our guy Big Weeds last night. They're getting this kid ready to play. How soon, though?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the question, right? I still believe Joe Flacco is going to be the quarterback week one against the Cincinnati Bengals. That is with or without Kenny Pickett suffering this hamstring injury. So I don't know, what, 6-7 weeks into the thing? You know, when the Browns are 1-5 or 1-6, something like that, and they decide that they need to make a change to, just, you know, for the sake of making a change, and the season isn't going anywhere, and you want to take a look at the kid and give the kid an opportunity, like that's kind of the way I think. I don't think that they're getting him ready to start week one against the Bengals. First of all, I think that that'd be season suicide. And then secondly, that just wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to me because he's not the best quarterback on the field.
How impressive has Deontay Johnson been?
He has started to put some good practices together. There's no question about it. Obviously, he, we all know the background there, but you see the talent. There's no question about that, Jonathan.
Daryl, looking to MJ Emerson, obviously lost for the season. Greg Newsom kicks outside there. We had this conversation with Quinshon, and are they going to add a decent back? They added a undrafted kid. Are the Browns going to look for any upgrades at cornerback from a veteran perspective?
I would think so. That's a pretty big loss, losing MJ yesterday. That opened some opportunity there for, you know, a guy like, you know, Tony Brown, Greg Newsom. Obviously, his role, I think, will get adjusted a little bit. But when I look at that secondary right now, you got Miles Harden in there. Needham is in there. I think Kendall. And there's a couple other guys, you know, Cameron Mitchell, who had an interception yesterday in an 11-on-11 end of season situation of Dylan Gabriel. So you're going to see some folks there, I think, get a look. But aside from receiver, I kind of feel like linebacker and cornerback are two other positions, I should say, to keep an eye on, not only as training camp progresses, but especially when they get to the initial 53 and start looking at what's available on that waiver wire league-wide.
Well, staying with the linebackers for a second, it seems like Schwesinger is just he's been all over the place. I've only been at one camp, but like,
it's impressive.
So it pops for you as well.
Yeah, I mean, you just watch and you can see why coaches love him. He's got, and I realize we're in practice, but these are 11-on-11s. He's got great pursuit instincts, shown really good lateral movement, sideline to sideline, similar to JOK, not as good, but you see it there. He's extremely intelligent. He's been doing the green dot thing, which that's not easy to do as a rookie. And here he's out there doing it. I've heard stories about him in early and staying late, just, you know, organically working with fellow teammates around the facility, doing various things of football related, whether it's film study or doing the VR thing up on the second deck above the weight room there. So just everyone in the building raves about him and the progress and the impact he has made already as a rookie. And so I'm kind of holding out hope that maybe, you know, he's going to be able to help ease the loss of JOK this season for them.
Daryl, are you intentionally saying good like Terry Francona?
Yes, good.
Because you've said it. The first time you said it, JP and I exchanged looks. This last time, I mean, it was full Tito. I don't know if you're like...
You've been watching some Reds press conferences?
Yeah, well, you know, I spent a lot of time around Tito over the years.
Pretty good. Yeah. This kind of sounds like...
Knicks was better.
Yeah, it sounds like...
It's fine.
Oh, gosh, which one's that? One of the Jim Carrey... Oh, Bruce Almighty, good. That's a deep cut. I don't know anybody's getting that one.
So funny.
I actually got the deep cut, but it took me a minute to put the
Bruce
one and
Almighty.
Two together.
It's a very movie. It's just out of all the movies.
Seen that one.
You just want him to do his voice. His Ace Ventura voice is what you wanted.
Well, that's
because Daryl will do that.
I was initially thinking Ace Ventura, which is why I was bringing it up. And then as I was explaining I was like, it's Bruce Almighty, you idiot. Yeah. Daryl, wonderful stuff. You were pretty good.
I'm glad to hear it.
That sounded very
sarcastic. I aim to be good.
Daryl,
we strive for good.
Do we? Daryl, be good, buddy.
You bet, guys. Have a great week.
Hi, Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We'll react to what Daryl had to say and clearing the air in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Stop this nonsense with Manzardo. Play the dude every day. If you can't find somebody to take Carlos Santana off your hands, then cut him. I know they don't like to eat value here, but the idea that Kyle Manzardo has, what, 3 home runs in his last 2 games?
Yeah, 2 last night.
And he's not in the lineup today? When, by the way, you're struggling to find power out of your lineup, stop this.
Yeah, the Manzardo thing, Guardians fans are right to be really mad about how this continues to go on.
And I understand it's a numbers problem. Then solve the numbers problem.
Well, I don't need to see David Fry every night either. That's the other part of this. Santana stinks. He hasn't gotten any better. I've been calling it out for a month and a half, and everyone's like, oh, he'll heat up. He always heats up in the summer. Not this year, okay? He's not good anymore. He can't play anymore.
Oh, by the way, I don't care if he does. If you trade him to Boston and he starts to rake, the point is... Manzardo's your everyday first baseman going forward. Play him.
Has to be. But it's not only just the idea that they want to consistently play Santana, it's that they keep giving these at-bats to David Fry. And David Fry, circa last year in the first half of the season, it's not there. It's not coming. I know he's coming back from an injury still, but it's not there. Manzardo deserves these everyday opportunities.
Well, not just that. Like, he's actually performing. So he deserves them. But also... Like, if this is now about getting ready for 2026, who do you really need to be ready for 2026 and ready to, I don't know, be the best version of himself? Probably Kyle Manzardo. And my worry is, this is always you got to find out what you have in a player.
Mm-hmm.
4 days a week, you're not finding out truly if Manzardo can play every day. That's a piece of the puzzle you need in place by the end of this season.
Well, on top of the idea that I understand what they're trying to do with the platoons, but his platoons splits aren't bad in any sort of way. They were last year. They're not this year. He is better, even in the platoon matchup that doesn't make sense, a million times better than what David Fry or Carlos Santana are in the ones that do make sense.
It's just, there's no really defending it from any angle other than we've got 3 guys trying to play 2 positions, which is the easiest thing to handle on the planet. Like, if Boston really wants Shane Bieber, cool. You also need a first baseman? Here's Carlos Santana, right? And not as, like, you might actually be able to get something in that scenario because they're not paying a bulk of the package for Shane Bieber. You know me, man. I can rock with most of the things the Guardians are doing. And most of the platoons, even though I'm not the biggest fan of them, I at least understand it if a guy's hitting for no power and is hitting .170. That I get. Nolan Jones, who, again, I've been staunchly like, guys, he's not the biggest problem. I don't understand why you're teeing off on Nolan Jones. Okay, yeah, maybe you don't play him every day because the power isn't there. He did have a double last night, so it's coming around.
It's been coming around for 2 months.
But it was just well, honestly, if it's...
Unfortunately, it's just that's every week. It's like it's coming around.
My problem with that is, for 6 weeks, everyone completely looked the other way, that he was actually performing and kept saying, cut him. Then he had 12 at-bats that it was really atrocious, or 12 games that it was really atrocious. And then all of a sudden, they were cool with the sample size. And then after last night, it's like, well, but the power's still not there. It's like, all right. Like, Nolan is not the biggest problem.
Well, no, he's not the biggest problem, but we're not having, I feel like, enough honest conversations about this team when it pertains to who should be playing and who shouldn't be playing. I never need to see Jonathan Rodriguez again. I never need to see Will Wilson again. Like, we know the players we don't need to be invested in, the players that we think can actually be something. But Manzardo not playing, I mean, he's your third best hitter. Him not playing every day is just, it's a slap in the face to Manzardo, and the fans have definitely picked up on it.
And it's power.
Right.
He's hitting, he's got 18 home runs right now. If he had played every day, he might be over 20 home runs, 22 home runs. So God bless Carlos. He's an elite first baseman defensively. And he's a passable first baseman offensively if he's not your fourth most important hitter, which is what he's been for most of this year. He's just not worthy of getting in the way. And I get it. I really get it. I truly, truly get it. That they're thinking, we got to somehow turn that $11 million into something.
Well, that might be what it is.
I'd rather you turn Kyle Manzardo into something.
For sure. And that's where I feel like, you know, we talked earlier about the Browns situation at quarterback. And it was like, well, the Browns can't let the idea that they took Dylan Gabriel in the third round be the decision over playing Shedeur Sanders if Shedeur looks better. This is from the same category that the Guardians are trying to pull off. They're trying to justify getting rid of Josh Naylor and the money spent there to go ahead and spend it on Carlos Santana, and they're forcing it to try to work, and you don't have to do this. As a fan base, we're just getting mad. We'll let you off the hook there. I promise you, we aren't going to throw it in your face time and time again. We just want to see Manzardo play every day.
So it's been a hot minute since we have a trade. We do have a trade to announce here, not for the Guardians, but the Phillies are close to acquiring Duran, the closer from the Twins, according to Ken Rosenthal. Mm. As of right now, I do not see any of the official packages that are going back. He is controllable, similar to Class A and to Kate Smith. So I would imagine this would be like a Justin Crawford or an Aiden Smith. Or is that Aiden Miller? I think Aiden Smith is in the Rays
organization. Aiden Miller, yeah.
So I would imagine... Andrew Knapp would just be funny because Andrew hasn't been healthy for like 4 years. But so the Twins have made a trade as part of their selling. That does still open up the fact that the Dodgers need a high leverage reliever. They're also very much in on Steven Kwan, which now leads me to the question of, are we going to get an in-game trade tonight?
An in-game trade where they do the they start hugging all the teammates in the dugout, and then it's like, oh. Oh, it's always so awkward for the broadcasting crew because they're trying to figure out what's going on, but then they see the hugs and they pieced it together, but nothing's actually been announced yet. And they're like, so Steven Kwan is leaving the game tonight.
Yeah, so that's the one you can't in-game trade.
Kwan?
You can in-game trade Santana. Obviously, Bieber won't matter because he's in the minors on rehab. You can in-game trade Kate Smith.
What is Kate Smith's value right now?
I don't know.
That last outing, I mean, it ballooned his ERA to ERA up near 4. I don't know that his value is not the same as it was 3 weeks ago. I know that.
Yeah.
But the market's still pretty good for that type of player.
That's what I was going to say. I think it's really tough to tell. And I would imagine the Guardians have one of the higher prices possible. I seriously wonder if they would even have a higher price on Cade Smith than Class A, given it's 4.5 years of control, and he is your closer if at any point Class A gets unsuspended and you get to trade him.
It'll be interesting. All right, so you're saying Kwan mid-game trade.
Yeah, just don't.
What happens if that happens?
It's at home. All right.
Do we start booing?
I think booing might be
What is the booing? What is the reaction from the fan base if that happens? Oh, man, that would be very, very interesting to see.
I don't want to put it into the ether what I think would happen. But I'll tell you.
10-cent beer night all over?
I don't think it would be just booing. I was thinking Bottlegate.
Okay.
Yeah. Although maybe it's like Cupgate.
Cupgate?
Yeah, it's just more of an inconvenience than it is a hazard. there's 21,000 cups on the field right now.
Does the netting actually help the Guardians at that point then?
Yeah, a lot of them bounce back and then you get a little spittle on you. Yeah. No, but again, it'll be the act itself is the act of... Yeah, again, more of an inconvenience than it is a hazard, but the point will be made.
I am interested to see what the Guardians fans' reaction is going to be, because there's a lot of people that are going to the extremes of this. Like, I'll never be a Guardians fan again, because it means they don't pay their players a second contract, and we're never going to have a chance. And it's interesting. I know people want to go to bat for Steven Kwan. I do. I get it. But it's not as if you traded J-Ram, for instance, But I feel like for people and where the fan base is right now, it's going to be treated as close to that as we could possibly see.
Yeah, it's weird that they have re-signed Jose Ramirez. And it's just we've now moved on to the next one to being like, well, they didn't re-sign him. It's like, okay, but they did re-sign Jose. And in fairness, Jose is on a different level. Maybe not of popularity, because Kwan is incredibly popular. But in terms of actual impact on wins and losses, Jose's a much more important player to you than Stephen Kwan because of the power aspect alone.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's not even a debate. I'm just trying to figure out how hard in the paint people will go for Kwan, or if it happens, will people instantly be like, oh, we got back player X, Y, and Z, and that front office, well, boy, did they do it again.
Oh, no, I think anything they do. I mean, there's already been enough of fire the front office that I've heard even since the Class A and Class A news earlier this week. It's like, well, just tell us you wanted to fire him anyways. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to fire. They're not going to get fired because two of their players got like rounded up into gambling. Like, you just wanted to fire them, and now this is just something you're using in that case.
Yeah, I think that's a point for a lot of fans, though. I've seen more fans fed up with them and more fans fed up with the situation right now than I can ever really remember as a Guardians.
This would make an in-season trade even funnier.
What's that?
Do you know who's in Cleveland today? Tom Withers tweeting this out just seconds ago. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred is in Cleveland today. Honestly, all right, so
is Jose going to curse him out like Bryce Harper did?
No, Jose might curse him out on the opposite. Like, remember, Bryce Harper was like, you want a salary cap, you can get out.
Which was an awesome response by Manfred to be like, no. Yeah. Harper's like, leave the locker room if you want to bring that conversation to the table. And Manfred was like, no, I'm not leaving the locker room.
Did he sit down and go, okay, sir?
He's like, no, I'm not leaving the locker room.
Yeah.
Harper, like, well, okay. You talked big, and then it didn't happen. What's your next move?
By the way, we don't talk enough about what a punk-ass Bryce Harper is.
Oh, stop that. No. I like Bryce Harper a lot.
I like the player. Ass? He's a punk-ass.
TikTok softened me on Bryce Harper. TikTok has like a whole series on Bryce Harper like making banana bread. Bryce Harper doing like, he basically is he's like a 75-year-old grandma on TikTok.
Yeah.
He makes banana bread.
And then he talks
about different coffees and how he makes the coffees.
And then he acts like Stipe Miocic diamond.
He is all sizzle, no steak when it comes to that stuff.
Yes, that's exactly.
He's a fake tough guy. And everyone knows it. Big Ohio State guy, that Bryce Harper.
But a great baseball player. No,
I like Bryce Harper, but I'm from the generation that likes Bryce Harper that way. I don't know why you're... Why did you skip
generations.
It? What happened? Why did you skip it?
Because he's a clown.
Bryce Harper's our generation's like baseball version of LeBron. Why did that skip it for you?
Because he's not as good as LeBron?
No, but at 15, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated the same way that LeBron was, and he's not maximized it the same way LeBron did for the hype relative to when he was 15 years old. But he's come about as close as you possibly can.
I mean, he's a very good baseball player. He's probably a Hall of Famer, and that's commendable. He's just too much chotch. Like, by the way, did not realize 351 home runs in his career. A little more impressed than I thought. I was thinking like 300 tops.
Man, I've always liked Bryce Harper.
Your generation would.
I know.
We're the same generation.
Clearly. I didn't know there was a big divide on Bryce. I thought our generation. I thought we met in the middle on Bryce Harper. You're 4 years older than me, that is. I thought that was the divide.
That was where we...
That's what it was.
Well, younger millennials. I am an older millennial. I just would love it if Hosey cursed Rob Manfred out for not pushing hard enough or fast enough for a salary cap. He's like, you got to understand, we got to trade Kwan because you didn't get this done already.
It would be wild. Also, like Jose cursing him out in Spanish, too, by the way.
Which sounds worse?
You don't want to be cursed out in Spanish.
You ever been cursed out in another language?
So when I worked in the restaurant, I worked with a lot of Ecuadorians, and they would use a lot of colorful language. I became really good friends with a decent amount of them, so I have a great respect for Ecuador, and I like Ecuador a lot. But when they got mad, oh boy, would they curse you out in everything under the sun.
I don't want to give away too many details because I actually think people might know who I'm talking about, where I'm from. But there was a friend of mine who was one of the exchange students, and they lost their patience with me one day, and I heard many a words that I knew I was not supposed to understand what it meant. And it was like a good friend of mine. Like, we were good buddies, and they just, I was frustrating them on some level. I didn't even realize I was doing it, which is different because usually I get a twinkle in my eye because I know I'm frustrating you and I kind of like it.
Mm-hmm.
And after like four words in, I was like, man, that was a lot. So for something they, I didn't know I was doing.
Yeah, they eventually really became on my side in many ways because they liked my work ethic. They thought they would always tell me I don't work like a white person.
Mm.
That was like a major compliment I always took in stride. But I'd never in my life, like if Duolingo had been around, I would have had that so quick. I wanted to know all the conversations they were having that I didn't understand, and I never got there.
Are you sure they didn't just say that in English to your face and then
no, there was
in Espanol?
There was a respect.
There's a dawning comprehension in his face.
We made fun of a lot of honkies
together. That he knows.
Because I'd be like, that person's lazy. I don't like that person. And they'd be like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right about that person.
Then they turned on a dime. We're like, yeah, but you're not lazy.
No, wink, wink. No, I worked hard at that job. I did. But no, they tell me about all the like going back home in the wintertime and like owning like 300 cows. And they'd be like busboys and server assistants, and they'd go home to like their 300 cows. Yeah. They'd work so hard, but they'd work hard for like 8 months out of the year, and then they'd go home and to like just lavish lifestyles.
And then here's the thing: you had no cows.
I had no cows.
Of course, they didn't respect you.
I still have no cows.
They would not like the man you've turned into. No cow, Johnny.
No, they wouldn't.
No cow, Johnny.
They're all gonna laugh at you. Yeah, they're gonna laugh at me behind my back.
I at least would like to get some cows one day so I can butcher them.
Listen, if you were from Ecuador, you'd have like 700 cows right now.
I'd be the cow king.
You'd have all the cows.
Yeah, I'd dress like a cow too, so there'd be a whole different look.
Just to add to the tally.
In case you missed it, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.